Baruch, we begin Perek Esrim, the 20th Perek in Hilchas Ishos, the laws of marriage in the Rambam Sefer Noshim. The Rambam continues in a related vein from the previous Perek, where he was discussing one of the Tnei Ksuba, one of the conditions in the Ksuba, where there's many different components that the woman has rights to, besides the primary Ksuba, is the daughter gets fed. So the Rambam gets involved in a related vein regarding the requirements to the provisions that are necessary for his daughter. Some of this Rambam is going to discuss in this 20th Perek, is the obligations that a father has to give monies for his daughter to get married for nisuin, which is called parnasa. Additionally, what happens if the father is a mace? If he dies and he leaves over a daughter, how do we evaluate his obligations? If he commands bishas misa when he's dying that his daughter should not get parnasa, should not get provisions from his estate, what's halacha if there's almana and a bas? If there's a widow and a daughter, which one has precedence for mezainus, for getting fed? Regarding Yosei Mikitana, a minor orphan girl that her brother and her mother marries her off, what's halacha regarding mezainus, regarding getting fed and regarding the rights that she has? So we begin halacha aleph. The Rambam first opens up with this idea of the obligations that the father has to marry off his daughter. Halacha aleph. Tzivachacham, the sages commanded, she'itin adam nechas of ma'at lebita. A person should give a little bit from his properties, from his estate, from his assets to his daughter, that she should be able to get married with it. Meaning, if there's coming with a dowry, then people are going to want to get married to her. This is what's called parnasa, which that's what's known as the nadunya, the dowry, that's providing for what she needs. Now, hamasi is bita istam. Now, if someone, in general, unspecified, marries off his daughter, so he should not give less miksus from the garments, from clothing, from a wardrobe, should place kanashus on, it should be sold at least what a husband is obligated to give, even if he's the poorest man, for his wife, Kamishran, like we explain in Perek Yud Gimel. Now, when we say that, is b'shahayah avami, only if the father was poor. So again, the least he could give is what a poor husband gives to his wife. But if the father was wealthy, then it's appropriate, it's obligated, it's appropriate for him to give according to his wealth. Is marrying off his daughter that she should be able to get married, then she's coming with a whole wardrobe, so it allows her to facilitate her getting married. Halacha base. But let's say Perish, let's say the father specifies alabal to the husband, to the prospective groom. Shein l'klum, she's not getting anything. V'shech nesen aruma, he's bringing her into the marriage naked. Nothing, not coming with anything. Shein l'klum, she doesn't get anything. Now, but v'leim abal, but still says the Ram, the husband shouldn't say, okay, kesher tevel v'isach hasen, when she comes to my house, when they finally marry her, okay, her father obviously is a certain type. When she comes to me, then I'll clothe her. No, Ela Mechasena, rather he clothes her, even when she's still in her father's household. The husband's obligation to his wife, although the father's not giving, which he should, but he should already go ahead and give her the wardrobe, even when she's still in her father's house. Halacha Gimel. Ha'av Shemes. Let's say the father passed away. V'nich Basni left over a daughter, a single girl. So, Oim Din Dait, we evaluate his personality. How much would he have given for her, as an adunya, as a dowry, to get her married, v'noisla, and that's how much we give to her, and even if it's more than a tenth of his properties, which, as we'll see, what happens if we don't know. Now, first says the Rambam, nine yodim umdendaita. How do we know his personality? How much he would have given? We know it mireya from his friends, miudav and his acquaintances, umasoy matane from his business dealings, chvayde according to his status. When you put that all together, you could figure out a type of person, and you could evaluate. So it says the Rambam, v'chein hisi bas b'chayim. If he already had married off a daughter when he was still alive, we use that daughter as a barometer that he should give this. They should give the second one how much he had given the first one when he was still alive. But let's say the courts don't know his personality because he didn't live amongst them, and therefore they can't tell: is he this break the guy, open guy, or is he more miserly, stingy? So then, if you don't know to evaluate him, nislom in the chas of Isa, then you give from his estate a tenth leparnasasa for this girl as an adunya, as a dowry to get married. Now halacha dal. Let's say nichbon is rabbis. Let's say left over many girls, many daughters that are not married. So then it goes like this: kosher tovile nasei, which everyone comes to get married. So nislom isra hanachasim. Then we give each one a tenth of the estate, meaning the first one that comes to get married, you give her a tenth. Vishalachar, the one after that, Isur Mashashiri Rishayna, she gets a tenth of what the first one left over. Vishalachar, the one after her, Isur Mashashiri Rishayna, she gets a tenth of what the second one left over. Which, obviously, 100, a tenth is 10, and then you're left with 90, a tenth of that is 9, and so on and so forth. Now, And even if they're all coming to get married at the same time, simultaneous, Rishainin tell us Easter. Still, the first one that gets married gets a tenth, Vashnia, the second one, Isur Mashashi Rishainin, she gets a tenth of what the first one left over, Vashnia, the third one, Isur Mashashi Rishainin, she gets a tenth of what the second one left over, that's even if they're ten, it's a tenth of what the previous one left over. Now, but it's not that the later one gets less, because they're getting married at the same time. Rather explains the Rambam, what they subsequently do is they then pool all the money together, and then they redivide it, that whatever that sum total is, then each one gets a tenth of that, they get a fair share of whatever those monies were, of all the tenths together. Now, why do they do it like that? So that there should be a biblical inheritance for the sons, because if the daughters would take each one a tenth, if there's 10 daughters, the sons, or whatever it is, even less than that, you get 100, you divide into 10, the son's not being less with that. So it comes out that you're not going to have the biblical Yerusha, and we don't do that. We don't do that to push away the biblical through a takan, so to override the biblical. So rather what you do is, yeah, you give them a tenth of what's left over, so you're never going to be, if you have 10 daughters and 10, and there's 100, that it's not going to use it up, because you're doing a tenth of that, of that, of that. And then the rest of the estate goes to the brothers, and again, and the daughters together then divide equally amongst them, whatever that total amount was. Now the Rambam Halacha moves on to regarding the collection of this, quote, parnasa, the dowry for her to get married. Isur zeh shu l'farnasa, the tenth of his estate, which is for her to be able to get married, einu b'tnoi k'suba. This is not one of the 10 items, or the 7 of the tnoi k'suba. So even according to the institution of the sages, the early ones and the later ones, meaning, and then it tells him lekarka. In this regard, she's only going to take from real estate, because this is not included in takansa goinim, which we said, oh, they allow even regarding metaltlin, because that was only regarding the tanai ksuba. This is not one of the tanai ksuba, and this, however, is only regarding this concept of eastern nachas. If this is like the Rambam said, Halacha Gimel, that we know his personality, then she would collect even from Metalim. But here we're talking about regarding the Isur Nechasim, this is only going to be from real estate. And the Yeshla, but what she could, what's included in this, is Ligvas Isur says she could collect this tenth of his estate, Mischiris Harkarka, from the rent that's owed to him as a landlord, because it was already collected, then it would already be the monies, which is Metalim. No, even though already, let's say, a half a year already passed since the father had leased it out, since it wasn't collected yet, it's still included like the halacha, the karka itself, because the schiris is only mishlemes l'b'sev, it's only owed at the end, so it's still considered part as the real estate, and she could collect from that rental money too. Now, v'matzo achan lit lamoiz k'neged isur karka, let's say the brothers want to pay her off with money, with cash, instead of getting a tenth of the real estate, then nice thing, they could give it that way too. It's just that she's limited to the rights of the land, but if they want to give her monies, they could do that too. Halacha vav. Habaspi says, so the daughter regarding this tenth of the properties, Kabbalah Schev Shalachanhi, she's like the creditor of the brothers. It's not a Tznai Ksuba that it's on the father, it's like on the brothers. Alafikach, and they tell us, I say, Minabainis, Bleshuva, so when she comes to collect from the brothers, she collects from the medium grade lands without an oath. Because if she was a creditor of the father, she would only take from Ziburis, from the lowest grade, with an oath, like whoever's coming to collect from the orphans. But since she's their creditors, so it's like just like a regular creditor, which gets from the bainus and without an oath. Now, v'meisu achim, but if the brothers die, then the tellus says in b'neim, she can collect from their sons, her nephews. Oh, then she collects miziburis, from the lowest grade, ubishvu, and with an oath, that she has to swear that she doesn't have anything from the state at all. And the reason why this is different, shari, in nefras, now she's coming to collect from the state of the orphans, her nieces, her nephews. Whoever's coming to collect from the estate of the orphans, only collect from the lowest grade and with an oath. Like Ram explains in the laws of loans. The halacha zayin. So if the brothers sold the mishkanu they used as security of karkavim, their father's land, which is indebted to their sister to be able to use as a dowry, so the daughter could go collect from those who bought that land if there's nothing left. For her parnasa, for her dowry, just like old creditors go ahead and collect from those who bought the encumbered properties, and the reason is because since this parnasa is a set amount, so the purchasers should have been careful not to buy that amount that's owed to her. In contrast to the mezainis of the isha and the bonis, where there has no set amount that we don't collect from the chasam shabbat because they're taking the island. Additionally, parnasa has the word gets out there because from the moment the father dies, everyone knows that okay, a tenth of this property is going to this daughter to get married. Like we explained the laws of loans that a Baal Chayv could collect from the Chasim Mishabadim, she's also considered a Baal Chayv. Halacha Ches. Misha Hisi Banas Gedoilus Venishur Gitanas. If someone marries off his older daughters, but there's still younger girls that are left over, and the father passes away without any son. So ain't Nitlin Parnas Legitanas. So you don't go ahead and take off this tenth, this Parnasa for the minor girls. Where, they also should get a right to get a tenth of the estate. And then, to subsequently divide the estate. No. Rather, what you do is you divide it equally. And the reason for that is because we only instituted this halacha of parnasa, of providing for the dowry for the daughters, only when they're sons, because the daughters are not inheriting anything. But when they're inheriting, because there's no sons, so the daughter's divided, so then they're all going to be equal. Similarly, halacha tes, misha meis, so someone dies. V'nich shtei banos uben, he leaves over two daughters and a son. Now the first girl, she beat the clock. She was able to go ahead and get a tenth of the estate, like how halacha is, that since the son is inheriting everything, so she gets a right for a tenth of the estate to use as a dowry when she gets married. But the second daughter didn't get a chance yet to collect her tenth at Shemesa Ben. And then by that time the son, her brother, already passed away. So now the whole estate fell to these two daughters, and they are equal inheritors. Then Eina Shneina tells Isser, the second girl is not going to be able to take a tenth beforehand. Rather, what they do is divided equally, because a daughter on a daughter doesn't get Isser Nechasim, because they both have equal inheritance rights. And the first one got it. She was lucky. She had that mazel. She merited in their first tenth, and then they divide the rest between the two of them. Halacha Yud. Let's see, Mishan Tzivi B'Shas Misa. Someone commanded at the time of his death, I don't want you to provide for the dowry for my daughters from my estate. Shemile, we listened to him. This is not from the stipulations of the ksuba document. Rather, it's an obligation on the orphans, like we said previous halacha and halacha vav, that it's the balchev of the sons. So if the father commands not to give, so then there's no obligation whatsoever. In contrast to the tnai ksuba, that is obligated, as we had previously said, that he can't do, but this is not from tnai ksuba. It's a mitzvah that he should do, but if he commands not, then they don't give. Halacha Yiraf. Misha Meis. Someone passes away. V'nich amano bas, and leaves over a widow and a daughter. So says Rambam, Kevar Rambam already explained in the previous parag, Shemazen salmano koid min lemazen zabas, that regarding sustenance for food, the widow gets before the daughter. Now, v'cheinim nisizbas, same thing applies to if the daughter is getting married, einin atelis isin achasim, she does not take her tenth of the estate, min lemazen salmano, where it's going to diminish from the ability of the widow getting her food. Because we learned that from the halacha of food. Where if food, which is from Tnag Suba, we say that the mother, the widow gets, and not her, for sure the tenth of the estate, which is only Tarkan Zachamim, then for sure the widow is going to get it and not the daughter. And the reason for that is because the widow is actually the balchev of the father. The daughter is the balchev of the brothers. So the widow gets before that of the daughter. Now, Vafila Mesa ben Achar Shenisis. Now, even if Mesa Bas Achar Shenisis, if the daughter dies after she got married, Eina bal yorish panasa ruli nasanla. So the husband, which inherits his wife, does not inherit the panasa which is fit for her. In other words, there would be a lumdus over here. We don't say that, this person, he's not the yorish of the father, he's the yorish of his wife. Now, he has halacha as a lekeach of the wife. And we don't remove for the food of the almana from the chasam shabadim, only for the benefit of the wife, they make him like the Yorish. A Yorish could remove from the sustenance of the widow. So maybe you would think to say that he gets the rights, the husband is inheriting his wife, says the Rambam, no, sharing the chasim kul mecheskel almana, because all the properties are in the possession of the widow, shtei nezenzman, that she should get fed from them. So therefore, the daughter has no rights, and when she passed away, her husband has no way of taking out that monies to go ahead and preclude his mother-in-law, the widow, from having food. Now, Halacha Beis, the Ram continues regarding the collection of this parnas of the dowry of the orphan girl at a later point in time. Halacha Beis, Ketani Yisema. So, if there's a minor orphan, she se'ata ima echila daita, her mother, her brother, that they went and married her off with her consent as a minor, which biblically does not have standing, but Rabbanan introduced it as a way of protecting her. Now, v'nas la'mei achamishim zuz, a little girl, 9 years old, they go and they give her 150 zuz as a dowry. So when she becomes older, when she becomes an adult, she could be lohitzi miyadim parnasa rula. She could extract from them, she could collect from them the appropriate parnasa, the dowry that she's supposed to get. as we explained, either by evaluating the father's personality, or like we said, when we cannot evaluate that, when we have a tenth of the real estate that he has, which is if the court doesn't know his personality. And the chiddush is, and even if the brothers all along were not providing for her the sustenance, and therefore, as we'll explain later on next halacha, that there's no reason for her to say that, oh, I was embarrassed to collect. Why were you embarrassed? They weren't giving you anything. So even if they were not providing her the sustenance, even if she didn't protest at the time of marriage, because a little girl is not someone who knows how to protest, and therefore, even if she, so to speak, being moichel by being quiet, it's not considered valid, and therefore she could collect even at a later point in time or when she becomes an adult. However, halacha yud gimel, let's say the daughter gets married when she was already an adult, she's 18, 19, she's getting married, whether she's a nair, which is only when she just turned 12, or begeris 6 months later, when she got married, she did not come to claim, oh, my dowry. So of the pranasasa, so she lost that right to the dowry, because what's called shtika, the silence, is like an admission, is a mechila, it's waiving the right to that parnasa. Now, but let's say she didn't get it, but she protested when she's getting married, saying, hey, where's my dowry? So then she could go ahead and collect what's coming to her, whenever she wants to, even at a later point in time. Let's say, she became a begeres, over 12 and a half, and she's still in her father's household. So, whether she became a begeres after he passed away, whether he left her, and she, when he was still alive, she was already begeres. In Pasco Achen Melasim Mizainasau, if the brothers stopped giving her to feed her grocery bill from the family estate, and the reason is Shari Ainla Mizainas comes around, as we explained in the previous parak, that she actually loses her rights when she either gets engaged or becomes a begeres, and Vishaskabli to Abandasasa, and she's silent and she does not claim, okay, but you know, I'm not getting from the fed anymore, I want my dowry, and she's silent, she doesn't protest of the Pandasasa, she has lost her ability, because that silence, why being silent, obviously being Michael, she loses that dowry. Now, v'michasa, but let's say she protests when she becomes a begeres, whatever the panasasa, she has not lost her dowry. Now, but let's say le'pasko achim v'zenesav, let's say the brothers didn't stop feeding her, v'zano oisab a beggar, and out of goodwill, not because they're obligated, once she becomes a begeres, they don't have to feed her, but they continue feeding their sister, even though she's a begeres. So here it's different. Even though she doesn't protest, she has not lost her rights to her dowry. As long as they're still giving her food from the estate, because she could claim, or because they're still feeding her, even though they're not obligated, and she's still not married, because if she was a begeres and she got married, of course she would have to protest, even though they feed her. But here, she's not married, and they're feeding her. That's why she didn't claim her dowry, because she's embarrassed. Like, I'm going to try to get my, you guys are giving me more than you have to, and I'm going to say, hey, where's my share? So because of that, then it's not considered the shtik like a mechila, and she does not lose her rights to her dowry. Now, halacha yadal ram continues. What's if this parnasa, the dowry, is given over into a third party? If someone commands to give to his daughter, he sets aside for his daughter, you know, for her dowry, this amount of money, but likach ben karke, he had stipulated that it should be used to purchase land, and that land should be used for her dowry. So says the Rambam, whether he was a dying person on his deathbed when he said this, or whether he was healthy, and then he subsequently passed away, and the money is by this third party. Now, but then the daughter says, give it to my husband, whatever he wants to do with it, he can do with it. So, if she was an adult and she got married already, or she's the other, so then that rights are in her ability, because even the father didn't entertain when he gave it to a third party only until she gets married. Because when she gets married, the husband has the rights to utilize it and have benefit from it. So, if she's already married and she's an adult, so then, yeah, the husband could use those funds and it doesn't have to go for a piece of land. But if she's still just engaged, not married, then the third party should do as he was told, which he should buy a field with it. And we don't listen to her, because it's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the dying person, of the person who died. Now, and if she's still a minor, not only is she not an adult in marriage, she's not an adult and engaged, she's a minor, then even if she got married, in Shemila, we don't listen to her, The husband cannot do whatever he wants to. The shalish goes, and Elias the shalish, rather that third party does as the father commanded him to buy a piece of land with it, because the father's intention is for the good of his daughter, that the husband shouldn't just blow the money, and she's a little girl and she doesn't know any better. So they're in that situation, then even if she's married, the third party has to do exactly like the father commanded, and not to listen to the daughter, and let the husband do whatever he wants to do with those funds.